Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you enjoy your time with us, and please join us for tea and coffee after the service through in the hall, where there'll be a light lunch for sale as well. We'll not meet for prayers during this month, but this week please hold our members in Candareven Nursing Home in your prayers. The Paterson Church coffee mornings every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the church hall. Hope Cafes on Thursday the 8th of August, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Holiday Club will take place in the church hall on Monday the 5th, Wednesday the 7th and Friday the 9th of August. And the leaders in need of help, doesn't matter your age, sex or agility, they'll find something for you to do, and if you can help, if you speak to me fairly. On the Wednesday, we were hoping to take along some of the senior members in the church, but nobody's gave me their name yet. So, today, if you want to go, give me your name. A summer open day for the Jubilee Club on Thursday the 8th of August at 1 p.m. The show Holiday Rock starts at 2:15 to 3:15 p.m. in Lifestyle Centre, and all are welcome to go along, and there's a £3 charge for guests. The next Guild Craft Night is on Monday the 12th of August at 7:30 p.m. And the book group will meet on Sunday the 18th of August. And the book for this month is A Street Cat Named Bob by James Bone. We need help to give the halls a deep clean. And Bob's hoping to have a work party at various times next week. So if you could help with that, if you could speak to Bob today, and he'll organise a morning or a night when there's going to be more people available, if you don't mind. The Guild trip's going to St Andrews on Saturday the 7th of September, and could you please pay your money and let Joyce know what you want to eat as soon as possible. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let us know and we'll send flowers or we'll visit. Welcome, Anne, to pulpit this morning. It's just as well Stuart's not here, because see the smell of the lilies? He would be lying in the carpet. He can't stand the smell of lilies, and they're really strong. So we'll look forward to what you have to say to us this morning, Anne. Thank you.
Good morning. Testing. I think it must be my pocket. Testing, still here? Right, okay. This connection, I think. Alec, will I use the other one? Right, okay. Testing. So this is mic two. That's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, right. Good morning, everybody. Starting out. I'd like to ask Alec to come and light the candle, please, as a reminder of God's presence today. May we centre on God in the silence of the hour, to seek out the greater silence within us, the silence that holds us and loves us, as we worship the one who holds all the silence. We'll stand as we're able to sing our first hymn, which is I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of grace and peace, who taught us to give of ourselves to others, who challenged us to share what we have with those that don't, who demanded us to stand up for justice and fairness for those whose voices are silenced, we are sorry because we failed to keep your promises. We are sorry because we chose to ignore your teaching. We are sorry when we hoard what we have and we hide away from justice. Have mercy upon us, God. Forgive us for being faint-hearted. Forgive us for turning away from truth. Forgive us for our lack of courage. Forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us for not going the extra mile. Forgive us for not demonstrating love, compassion, and hope amidst the darkest days of faith. Yet we believe in you, trust in you, hope in you. You forgive us our sins. You understand our weakness, and you love us more each day when we continue to follow you today and every day. May it be so. Let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And I'll ask Douglas to come up and do the reading.
Jesus, teaching and prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this: Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us to hard testing." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on the trip has just come to my house and I don't have any food for him.' And suppose your friend should answer from inside, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be open to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
God bless the reading for his holy word, and to his name be the glory and praise. Amen. Bob and the Loaves of Bread. One night, after everyone had gone to sleep, an unexpected guest arrived at Bob's house. Bob welcomed him because Bob was a good man and always tried to help people who were in need. The unexpected visitor settled down for the night, and Bob began to search his cupboards, but the cupboards were bare. And since Bob didn't live next to a 24-hour co-op, other supermarkets are available, he knew there would be no breakfast in the morning for his visitor. And in his culture in Old Testament times, that would be a very bad thing. Not to provide food or hospitality for a visitor was a shameful thing in Bob's community. So Bob had an idea. He left the house and he went to Tom's house. Knock, knock. "Who's there?" said Tom sleepily. "It's me, Bob, your neighbour. You know, the builder." "Oh, Bob, it's awfully late. But can you not, what do you want at this time of night? Can you not fix it?" Tom laughed. "Well, no," said Bob. "That's why I'm here. An unexpected guest has arrived and I haven't got a thing in the house. Can you spare a loaf so that I can give him breakfast in the morning?" Tom said, "Oh, come on. I can't get out of bed and disturb the wains at this time just to give you a loaf of bread. Away you go and give us peace." There was silence. Bob was a bit hurt. After all, in their community, it was a very bad thing not to provide hospitality for a stranger. Bob said eventually, "Are you sure, Tom? You're not normally so stingy. Come on. It's only one loaf of bread. Your missus will not miss it." Bob could be very persuasive when he wanted to be, and people found it difficult to say no to him after a while. So Tom said, "Och, all right, you're an awful man." And he crept downstairs and he gave Bob a loaf of bread for the visitor, because Tom knew it was a very bad thing not to give hospitality to a stranger. So what message is Jesus trying to tell us about prayer in this? As usual, he uses a parable to illustrate his point. He wants us to ask for what we need and when we need it, but not necessarily what we want. But we can ask when we need it, even in the middle of the night. And he wants us to take away the shame that we might feel because we don't have what we need sometimes, or we don't do the right thing sometimes. God wants us to come to prayer confidently and not to be afraid. We'll hear about this later. Next, for those of us who are able, we will stand to sing, "It's Me, It's Me, It's Me, O Lord."
Thank you.
perfect prayer. Let me take you back a couple of weeks. I know we were all listening to Stuart when he talked about being a Christian. Okay. Right. I'll just put them. Can you still hear me? Yes, good. Let me take you back a couple of weeks. I know we were all listening to Stuart when he talked about being a Christian and the things that Christians do. And he used the example of a runner, and was a runner, still a runner, if they weren't running on a regular basis. Well, I immediately identified with this example. Well, not really, but maybe the part about making excuses for not running, like eating chocolate, I identified with that bit. That's me. Anyway, I actually thought he was looking at me when he said it. But seriously, as we know, prayer is very important. It's a very important part of being a Christian. Henri Nouwen said, prayer is the centre of Christian life. It's the only necessary thing. It is living with God in the here and now. Prayer is the essence of spiritual life, and we can find our true identity as children of God by letting go the desires of the world, so we can belong to God and God alone. So we can belong to God and God alone. Jesus' disciples had watched him and heard him pray. And one day they came and asked him to teach them how to pray. I like to think that maybe he answered, "I thought you'd never ask." But Jesus answered them in three ways, as we heard in the reading. He gave them the words to say, the perfect prayer. He told them a story, and we heard our version about Bob and Tom earlier. And he explained a bit about what prayer is like. How did we learn to pray? How did you learn to pray? Did someone teach you? Did you copy someone else? I did. I remember sitting beside my grandfather in St. John's Church in Hamilton as a child and copying him. I just learned the Lord's Prayer from him. We all know the Lord's Prayer off by heart, and we probably say it every day or at least once a week. I remember being taught in Sunday school what the Lord's Prayer meant, breaking it down line by line, and it still stays with me now. What was your experience? Think about it. In the reading today, we heard Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew's version is better known to us. The sheer simplicity of Luke's version is very appealing, and yet it's radical. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not bring us to a time of trial. That's it. The bit about power and glory was added later. It's all there, the perfect prayer. We ask for our daily bread, just enough for that day, so we're sharing the world's resources. We seek forgiveness, also crucial to our daily living. Forgiving those who have done us harm is key to releasing ourselves from the bitterness and grudge-bearing that weighs us down. We certainly want to be saved from times of trial, and Jesus prayed for that for himself. Here it is, the perfect prayer, prayed to the one who is beyond us and within us, into whose embracing love we can put our trust and find enough confidence to keep going. In these few words of prayer, Jesus puts into a different form the great commandment, to love God and love our neighbour as ourselves. These words are a prescription for life as well as a prayer. I have written a few prescriptions in my time. I often wished I could write alternative prescriptions, like for a nice holiday or a hairdo or weight loss and exercise. I think that one was for me. And yes, why not? For prayer. To love God and love our neighbours as ourselves. Is anything more needed? Possibly not. Luke goes on to show us through the parable we heard about earlier that God hears prayers and will answer them with what is needed, not necessarily what is wanted. So how many times have we recited the Lord's Prayer? Thousands of times. It does become a bit repetitive, and we're not really present while we're saying it. So how could we have a deeper prayer life and be more present in the moment? I've read around the subject for a number of years, and most writers come to the same following suggestions. Be still and know that I am God. We should try to be fully present in time and place so that you feel centred in God's presence. Stillness of our body and our thoughts. Not what we're going to have for tea or what we're going to buy in the supermarket. Our minds are full and overflowing. And usually we have a list of things that we want him to do for us. To our timetable, of course. Silence. Silence also helps us to prepare our heart for prayer. From a place of adoration and peace, the silence is a prayer in itself. The psalmist said, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." What next? Well, we should say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed. We are invited to adore. It's a mark of respect for a dear parental figure. When I was young, I thought God would be too busy and too angry to bother with me. But over the years, I've come to learn that he's more like the father of the prodigal son, who welcomes us with open arms, wherever we've been, whenever we approach him, and whatever we have done. He really is on our side. He wants to help us. Isn't that amazing? Someone wise and kind in the congregation made the comment that people who struggle through life seeking help don't see the help and support of the Lord right in front of their noses. God wants to bless us. We are never alone. God helps us in our need. He's always pleased to see us and help us when we cry out. I wonder if society has become a bit apathetic to prayer and forgotten the privilege of being in the presence of the living God. We should rejoice in God's blessings around us before we launch into our wish list. So, to summarise so far, we have to try and be still and silent and centered. And begin praying with reverence and adoration for God. Next, we can pray for our daily bread. Prayer means many things to us, but most importantly, we ask for help. The patient in hospital, the police officer on duty, the drug addict. The Lord's Prayer asks us to invite God for everything. The Lord's Prayer invites us to ask God for everything. For our daily bread, for ourselves, which is in church jargon called petition, and pray for others, or prayers of intercession. Remember, this interaction is a relationship, it's not a transaction. So we should ask and not demand. In doing this, when we are vulnerable in our own need, we are putting our trust in God. We are showing our act of faith by opening our heart to believe that help will be received. And we all know how difficult it is to ask for help. Some people spend a lifetime trying. Asking is intentional. We have free will. He comes where he's welcome. So that's petitionary prayer, praying for ourselves. We have a partnership with God through faith and perseverance. We should also pray for others, which will do so in a wee while. Richard Foster said, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. I like that. Intercession is a way of loving others. Not many scientific studies have been done on prayer, and those which have been done show that prayer can aid recovery due to the psychological and physical benefits. This has always interested me greatly in my career. It increases the morale of patients if they know that they're being prayed for, and so it aids recovery. Prayer can reduce the physical symptoms and the stress and anxiety. So that promotes a more positive attitude and strengthens the will to live. Benefits are also seen in the person doing the praying. People come back to God through prayer. Circumstances people find themselves in will cause them to pray. A family crisis, an illness, an accident or chronic disease. Usually people are desperate and in need. They're seeking out something calming, reassuring and stable. People can find an overall gratitude for life through prayer, and it can help those struggling with addiction as part of their recovery. They are no longer alone in their struggle. So prayer is good for you. It's good for us. A number of US medical schools have incorporated courses on the effect of religious practice and prayer on health. We also know that hearing is the last sense to go when people are terminally ill. So we talk to the patients and remember that they can still hear. Florence Nightingale told her nurses that the unconscious patient may not respond to them, but a word of prayer will reach them. So, to summarise our guide to deeper prayer life, we need to be still and silent and centred. We need to offer adoration. We need to pray for ourselves and others. And lastly, we need to learn to surrender. We yield to God's holiness through confession and reconciliation when we pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And we ask him to deliver us from evil. So finally, in all these ways, it's by surrendering to God that we overcome our problems. By emptying ourselves that we are filled. And by yielding our lives in prayer, that our lives themselves can become a prayer. The Lord's Prayer in the end. So I'll leave you my prescription for a deeper prayer life. And we'll reflect on that over the next few minutes while we watch this video. Thank you. Our next hymn is Seek Ye First. When the words are done and the noise is all used up, may we be still in the silence. Your offering will now be received. Thank you. Let us pray. Generous God, giver of all good gifts, we honour you today and present our gifts to you. May they be used wisely. May they go to where they are most needed. Amen. We'll now sing our next hymn, which is, Father, I place into your hands.
Be still and know that I am God. Loving God, like the apostles of old, we ask, teach us how to pray. Teach us the secret of prayer, when we speak and when we keep silent, when to accept and when to keep on seeking, when to persevere and when to let go. Teach us the power of prayer, its ability to challenge, to encourage, to transform all of life. We pray for those who despair of seeing freedom, justice, peace, or reconciliation. Those who despair of finding adequate food and clothing. Those who despair of receiving help and healing. We pray today for those who are weighed down by stresses and strains of daily living. For those who long for peace of mind, who crave rest for their souls but cannot find it. We pray for those who have lost time for you and cannot pray, those who shut you out in the pressures and demands of each day, no awareness of their spiritual needs. We pray for those who have been bereaved in our community. May they find you in prayer and the peace and support they need at this difficult time. We remember them in our hearts, and especially today, the Miller family. Living God, speak to each one in your still small voice, and grant them your peace which passes all understanding, that quiet confidence that only you can bring, and so may their burdens be lifted and their souls refreshed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand for our next hymn, Lord Jesus Christ.
From the prayer we go into the world, for prayer holds us and prayer calls us, from where we are into where God longs for us to be. Where we go there, knowing we are held and blessed by God who knows us and blesses us and calls us onto the way. We'll stand for the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.
Do you know that for today?